Download Gundealio for free today and start saving money. Get alerts to hot deals by walking into a gun store. Plus, offers, new products, and videos sent straight to your smartphone. Get your gear for less. Gundealio.com.
Welcome back to Gun Talk. I'm Tom Gresham, and if you'd like to be a part of this madness, call me, 866-TALK-GUN, or just Tom, that's me, Tom Talk Gun. Pretty easy. We're going to be talking about an awful lot of different things. We have, in about 30 minutes, a little bit less, we have a report from a young man, 12 years old, who just shot, actually his second deer, got it yesterday evening, at the end of the day. Using a 6.5 Creedmoor rifle with, oh yes, a suppressor. We'll talk about that in a little bit. Also talk about how you get suppressors. But Jay has been holding on for a little while out of Colorado. We appreciate your patience there, Jay. How can we help you, sir? What do you got?
Well, Tom, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I've got an issue with a firearm I bought, and I thought I'd maybe get your advice on how I should be handling this.
Sure.
I got a little M&P rifle, 22, and it is now back to Smith & Wesson for its third time with the same problem.
What's it doing? This is the little M&P Sports. It looks like a little AR,
yes.
But it's a 22. Okay,
yes,
so what's it doing?
Exactly. It's like it's not feeding the round completely up into the chamber, and it has like a small gap, like an eighth-inch gap. And it will still fire. The trigger is still pulled, and the hammer goes off. And it blows out the side with enough force that it blows the extractor completely out of the bolt and shoots, of course, powder and scrap metal out the side
sure.
of my gun.
Okay, so you sent it back to Smith & Wesson. What do they say?
Well, they've told me they thought they fixed it two times, and then the second time I got it back, I took it out, and that the 11th round, it did it again. So it's back there now. Now they have some supervisor supposedly supervising this repair this time, and they are thinking now maybe it's the barrel. So they're talking about maybe replacing the barrel.
Have you tried different kinds of ammo?
Yes, I've shot CCI, ArmScore. Those are the two ammos
okay.
I've shot.
All right.
Is supposed to be fairly decent ammo.
It is unfortunate that it's had to go back and forth, but is it back at Smith & Wesson now?
It's there now, yeah. It's been there for about 3 weeks now. Yeah, I bought the gun in May. They've had it more than I have.
That's that's frustrating. And trust me, they're frustrated too, because it's and the thing is, everything's getting slowed down with COVID, and they're trying to make guns and pull people off the line to do repairs and everything else. Here's my thinking on this. If you get it back and it does it again, and Smith's not going to like me saying this, but this is what it is, I would tell him at that point, hey, I need you to replace the gun. Just give me a new gun. Would you be okay if they gave you just a new gun if this thing doesn't work when it comes back?
I would. Now, would that be the whole issue, or could they not just do a whole new upper part on
yes.
it rather than, I mean,
absolutely.
The gun part is fine. It's just that upper barrel and bolt.
Right. And my guess is that that's what they're going to do this time. They're going to go in and replace everything, probably put a new barrel and everything on it. But I guess what I'm saying is if it comes back and for whatever reason it does it again, I think you would be justified in saying, okay, guys, I've done the good faith effort, and we've tried, and I've hung with you this long. How about just replacing the gun? And I'm going to go one step further. If you get it back and it does it again and you're having any problems, call me back, contact me, and I'll see if I can intercede, and we'll get something happening for you, okay?
Oh, well, I would appreciate that. Thank you,
Sure.
Yeah, I think that's probably a good advice for the next step, is if it does it again, just ask for a new gun. But, I'm afraid to shoot it, you know. Before, no, but nothing's been out to the right side of me, no people, nothing.
Right.
This last time, I had my range bag there, and it was maybe a foot and a half, 2 feet away, and it melted the zippers on the bag, and I thought, oh, my goodness, what if there had been people down that side of me on the range?
Yeah, that's
you know,
no good.
That's just dangerous.
Completely unacceptable, yeah. So, and they're going to try to make it right. And if you're not satisfied, ask for a new gun. If you're not satisfied with that, then call me and we'll see what we can work out, okay? I'll see if I can help you out.
All right, Tom. Well, I appreciate your advice.
Good deal. Well, we'll work on that. I appreciate that. Tell you what, smart move here is we took enough time on that. Brandon, don't go anywhere. We're going to get to you. We're going to be talking about silencers in just a second. We'll take a break now. That way we'll have more time on the backside of how do you buy a silencer? What's involved? Well, we got an outfit that makes it easy. And I own a couple, but I don't hunt with them. That's going to be kind of my next thing. They're fun at the range, but I'm seeing so many people hunting with suppressors now. I think that's my next move, so I want to get some info on that. Our number is 866-TALK-GUN. Be right back.
A passion for shooting and hunting has driven product innovation at Hodgson Powder Company since 1947. Innovations like black powder substitutes, muzzle-loading pellets, and smokeless powder features like anti-copper fouling agents or temperature insensitivity. A family business from the beginning, Hodgson Powder Company is the largest U.S. supplier of smokeless black powder and black powder substitute propellants distributed under the Hodgson, IMR, Winchester, Pyrodex, 777, and GOX brands. Hodgson Powder Company, the gunpowder people.
Attacks happen every day. How will you react? See real people put into real-life criminal attack situations on First Person Defender. Discover what works and what doesn't. Kidnapping, ATM robbery, home invasion, and other attacks. Learn how to save your life and the lives of your family. Get the entire first season on DVD at ShopGunTalk.com. Get prepared. ShopGunTalk.com.
Built to perform in the harshest conditions, the Ruger American Pistol can take it all, from ice to dust and everything in between. The Ruger American Pistol features a short take-up trigger, Novak sights, and a recoil-reducing barrel cam with low mass slide for reduced felt recoil. Plus, a modular grip system with three sizes to fit almost any hand. Check it out at Ruger.com. The Ruger American Pistol, because anything else would be un-American.
Okay, the reality is sometimes I get distracted during the breaks. So I'm online, I'm looking up Silencer Central, I'm going, ooh, that's cool, that's pretty neat. Silencer Central, joining us right now is Brandon Maddox from Silencer Central. Hey, Brandon, how are you, sir?
Good, how about you, sir?
I am good. So I guess start off with, what is Silencer Central?
Yeah, good question. So, you know, we started originally just in South Dakota as a dealer, and we just grew, and now we're in all 42 states where silencers are legal. So essentially someone can buy a silencer from us, and we can do all the paperwork and then mail it to their front door.
As you know only too well, and I guess it's probably the basis for the business to some extent, the whole idea of buying a silencer or a suppressor is, for a lot of people, it's mysterious. First, a lot of people actually will say, is that even legal? You know, and then they go from there. Well, how would you do that? I don't know. And then I got to deal with the federal government, and that just feels wrong. And I don't know what to do.
Yeah, no, totally. We started our business working gun shows, and I always kid that we spent the first year telling people that they weren't illegal, and then the second year kind of helping them purchase them. So,
right.
Yeah, we hear it pretty much every day.
I'm sure. So what is Silencer Central anyway? What do you guys do?
Yeah, good question. So, you know, in simplest terms, we're a dealer, we're a wholesaler, and we're a manufacturer. So you pretty much have one point of contact and you can get everything done. You know, as a dealer, we can sell anything, but as a manufacturer, we have access to, you know, lines of products that we have made specifically for us. Years ago, it would take 6 months for the ATF to approve a transfer from a manufacturer to a wholesaler, and then 6 months from a wholesaler to a dealer. So you couldn't function with waiting for a year before you could even get a product to sell. That didn't even include the time that the customer would have to wait. So
Right. That's
what sort of pushed us into a vertical integration where we consolidated and, you know, have access to sell through getting stuff at a wholesaler or selling stuff that we already have in inventory.
So you are a manufacturer as well as a wholesaler.
Correct. Yep. We have an 07 manufacturer's license. We've mostly, you know, worked with larger firearms manufacturers to make the silencers for us, to do the R&D. I would say our expertise is the dealer side, making the paperwork simple. And mm-hmm. part of making the paperwork simple was to have the products in inventory so you could actually transfer them.
Obviously, probably the most asked question is, how long does it take now to get your paperwork through once you put in your application before you're going to get your tax stamp back?
Boy, that's always a tough one. So the ATF's quoting about 9 months right now, but what people don't realize is about 35% of people, when you have a background check done, they have to do a manual review of it, the FBI does. Hmm. And so 35% of everyone that get reviewed get into a manual review, which is going to delay them by a couple months. So that's why, you know, years ago they used to just come in like, you know, at the order you issue the serial number, they would come back to us approved. But now it's, you know, now that they're doing background checks on everyone on a trust and everyone that's purchased right. one, it just varies. You know, if you've been arrested or you have any kind of charges, then it needs a manual review, then those people are going to have to, you know, unfortunately wait a little bit longer. But the ATF right now is quoting 9 months. I mean, we've seen that number coming down. When I first started doing this, it took 2 weeks. And during Obama's term, I saw 18 months. So
wow.
right now, we're not at the worst we've ever been. It's not really that bad as it has been.
Right, right. And for those who don't know, I'm looking right now at silencercentral.com. I'll say, go ahead. You started. And the other thing is?
Yeah, you know, I think what we've done, again, our goal is to make it easy. So we even let people pay while they wait, which works out really well. I think one of the hard parts about buying something and waiting for it is most people are going to require 100% up front. But since we're your dealer and we're going to mail it to your front door and it's approved, we're holding it in our inventory. So we let you pay while you wait. There's no interest. There's no fees. There's nothing. You know, we want it approved as quickly as the customer does. So that's something we sort of added that has really been popular. It's just, you know, pay while you wait. It's easier to explain to the wife that you're paying while you're waiting. You didn't pay for it all up front.
Okay, you said something in the middle of that got my attention. You said you're going to mail it to your front door. So if I buy a suppressor or a silencer from Silencer Central, does it not have to then get shipped to an FFL in my state?
Yeah, good question. So we have an FFL and an SOT, which a lot of people call a Class 3, in every state. So we are licensed in Louisiana. So basically, once it's approved, we mail it to our location there, and then it's mailed from there to your front door.
Well, I'll be darned. Son yeah. of a gun. That's cool. That is really
yeah,
cool.
Yeah, no, totally. Totally.
I'm going, oh, okay, so let's see. So we're doing payments. So you can pay
yep.
while you wait, and
yep.
so you don't have to put it all up front, and then it's going to get shipped directly to you. And you guys will help me fill out the paperwork.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, we've worked closely with ATF for years where most of our process is digital. So, you know, if you buy one online, we're going to send you the paperwork via DocuSign. You're going to sign it digitally, and then it comes back to us automatically. And then a lot of it's done on autopilot. Our system's set up to send you reminders monthly to say, hey, you know, now it's time to get your barrel threaded, or, you know, hey, it should only be a couple more months. And then it's just all kind of automated.
This is just getting better and better. You guys have got a heck of a system going here.
You know, I always say we've been fine-tuning it for 15 years. I started in 2005. I'm originally a Southern boy, but my wife's from up here in South Dakota, so that's what brought me here. And it, you know, mm-hmm. kind of started out as a hobby, and you know, now it's going really well.
You're like me. I take my hobbies and turn them into businesses, which I'm never sure if that's a smart idea or not.
Yeah, exactly. It's hard to find time to go prairie dog hunting now. After.
It is. It's people say, you hunt all the time. Says, well, only for work.
Yeah, totally. You know? There you go. It's a business expense.
It's not bad. I'm not saying it's bad. I'm just saying that it's not the same. You know, it's like, oh, okay, this
totally.
Is work too, everything you do. So, okay, I'm thinking about, I'm watching all these people using suppressors for hunting. Are you seeing that as kind of the big growth area now?
Yeah, you know, it's a good question because, you know, we started in South Dakota, so what's really big up here is varmint hunting. So most people in North Dakota, South Dakota, they're going to, you know, shoot coyotes and prairie dogs, mostly coyotes. So I would say that's the main core of our business, and that's sort of what focused us to kind of move into the manufacturing world. when I first started getting into this in 2005, a lot of the silencers out there were more sort of a tactical setup, right, which is great, but a lot of our customers up here were hunters. So tactical, typically their goal is hearing safe, whereas hunters, they want it light and they want it quiet. So it's almost right, a different market, and that's kind of where we really focused, is how do we make it light and how do we make it quiet? So pretty much everything we focus on is all titanium. You know, it's more expensive, but our volume is large enough that we can acquire it at, you know, at a better price, and hunters just love the titanium because it's light and it's stronger than stainless steel.
I'm looking at the model, the Banish 30, just so people get an idea. We're looking at $979 if you pay it all at once, but you also can just start with a deposit of $244.75 and start that way and pay it as you go. That's pretty sweet.
Yeah, and I should clarify that, you know, we submit the paperwork as soon as we get it back. So it's not like we're holding the paperwork and waiting till you get done paying. You know, and if it gets approved before you're done paying it off, I think we have 100% success rate of calling a guy saying you're approved. Do you want to pay it off? The answer is yes. Let's get it rolling.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah. Send me my suppressor, man.
Totally.
Oh, gosh. And tax stamp, for those who don't know, is $200.
Correct. Yeah, been the same since 1934. And we let you spread that into the, you know, the payments too, so you don't have to do that up front all at once.
Man, you guys are just killing it. This is a super concept. I love what you're doing here. For those who want to look it up, it's silencercentral.com. Take a look at it there. And you have the ones that you make as well as the other suppressors that you have. And you have a lot of other stuff going on there. Brandon, thank you so much for sharing what you guys are doing. I'm excited about the ease, and that's the whole deal. This is like a convenience store. It just makes it easy to make the thing happen.
Oh, for sure. We see that's the biggest obstacle. People, it's an unknown. So our goal is to kind of embrace that unknown and kind of help carry you through the process, make it easy. And like I said, we've digitized a lot of it, and it just makes it quicker, just the turnaround time and everything. The communications are all tracked in our systems with customers. So when someone calls in, that caller ID pops up on the screen for our employees, and it shows, you know, what they bought, when they bought it, every email we've ever sent to them, a recording of every phone call, every text message, their picture. I mean, it's got everything in front of us, so we track it. Nice. You know, the hard part for a regular gun store is they have trouble keeping all that together. They use a lot of part-time help, or it's hard to, you know, when I first bought one at a gun store, I had one point of contact that had to manage everything, and just one person can't always be there. But here we have a system that manages it for us digitally.
Oh, I got a question for you, completely different. What's the best way to clean a suppressor?
Yeah, good question. So fortunately, the ones we sell, they do come apart. So it comes with a tool to take the front end out, and you just push the baffles right out. Typically, titanium works well to clean it with like a CLR, that calcium lime and rust remover, a little bit acidic. It's acid. Oh. That seems to eat the carbon off really well.
Huh. Okay. Yeah, I'm looking at the pictures now. Yeah, you just take it apart. Now you got all your baffles loose. You can, you know, put them in some kind of a soaking tub or scrub them, do whatever you do. Just reassemble it, goes back on. So that's pretty easy. I'm just thinking, is there anything else you need to know, people need to know about owning or using a suppressor?
You know, we still think the best way to get one is through a gun trust, and then that creates like this additional unknown, but that's something we offer free. So if a customer calls in and wants to buy a silencer from us, we create the trust for them free, and we offer that as part of our service. Oh. And what that does, that allows them to share it with other people that are 18 or older, and also it defines who gets it when they pass away. So it's, yes, you know, the sharing and also the legacy component, we feel like adds, you know, great value. And you know, we've been doing it long enough that we've seen it go the other way, and we still say the best way to buy one is through a gun trust. That's why we offer it, you know, at no cost.
Yeah, let me explain that real quickly. If you own them all individually and you die and, you know, someone inherits them, now that person has to go through the process, pay the $200 tax, do the background check, all of that. But if they're all in a trust, you don't actually own them. The trust owns them, and they just stay in the trust, and you have other people in the trust, and they still get to use them and basically, quote unquote, own them, but it is really owned by a trust. How'd I do?
Good. So the only thing is, technically, there is no $200 tax. So like with a Form 5, if you transferred from a person who passed away to, say, like an offspring, that actually the feds don't charge. It's the same as if it were a government transfer.
Oh, did not know that.
But what we've Yeah, but what we found is it's just really difficult for a spouse to figure out how to do that paperwork and to actually execute it. And then now you've got someone who's potentially in possession of something they shouldn't have. So, you know, like you're saying, the clean and the easiest way to do it's a gun trust. And I think most people realize that, but it brings additional costs to the table or complexity. Mm-hmm. So people stay away from it. So that's why we just offer it free. We're just, you know, hey, let's do it right the first time. And then we can continue to add additional purchases to that same trust for you if you decide to get others.
There you go. Again, Brandon, thank you so much. Brandon Maddox from Silencer Central, silencercentral.com. I really appreciate it. And if it's okay with you, when we have more silencer questions, we'll give you a call back.
Yeah, absolutely. No, that sounds perfect.
Okay. Very good. Appreciate that, sir. You take care.
Yes, sir. Yeah, you too. Thanks.
You know, I just think that's so cool. I'm one of those guys. And yeah, we've got a truss set up. We've got some suppressors in it. But anything that makes it less daunting, because it is, it's kind of like you're going, oh, wow, this background check, you got paperwork, you got to do this. Have I done it all right? Do I have my fingerprints? Do I have all the paperwork? Do I have the... I'll just admit it right now. I am not good on administrative stuff where it involves a lot of paperwork. It is intimidating or daunting to me. I hate doing that stuff. And this is the kind of thing where I say, I just need somebody to hold my hand through the whole deal. So there you go. By the way, I'm looking at some of the suppressors they have. If you are shooting something like a 7mm, 6.5 Creedmoor, what a lot of people do is they get a 30 caliber suppressor, and it's good for anything up to 30 caliber. What some people do is for their handguns, they might get a 9, but they might get a 45, and then it'll work on 45s and 9s. Yeah, it's not going to be quite as quiet shooting 9 through a 45 as if you shot it through a 9mm suppressor, but it's probably a couple of dB. It's probably not that big a deal. Just one of those deals. It's been my experience that once somebody starts getting suppressors, they kind of stick with suppressors, and they really kind of love shooting them. Tell you what, when we come back, we'll talk with a father-son. They're actually literally on their way back from a deer hunt where the 12-year-old just shot a deer with a rifle, equipped with a suppressor. Yesterday evening, a very nice buck. I've seen the pictures of that. I'd love to get their take on hunting with a suppressor, especially for a youngster. Great idea. 866-TALK-GUN. If you follow Gun Talk Podcast, you know the fellow I'm about to bring on. You follow Gun Talk Hunt, our new podcast about hunting. You got Ryan Gresham and Kevin Jarnigan, KJ, in our office. And KJ is on the phone with us right now, driving back from Oklahoma to Louisiana. And he's got young Jet in the truck with him there. Hey, KJ.
Hey, how's it going, Tom? I hope all's well with you guys. I know it's been a wild week for me.
So, okay, you ran up to Oklahoma from Louisiana, just a little jaunt for you, but you're an Oklahoma boy, so you get back home a good bit anyway.
Yeah, when hunting season comes around, usually it's that time of year for me to start hitting the road, and it's about an 11-hour one-way trip for me, so it's a 22 hours round trip, and it's been worth it so far. This was youth hunting season, and I took my son out. And let him have a crack at it.
Okay, so Jed is 12 years old?
He's 12 years old, and he's been having a little bit more success than his old man here lately.
Okay, so tell us about the hunt yesterday afternoon. What did you do?
Well, you know, I think a lot of it and a lot of the preparation was key to his success in the field. And we started out the morning, and it was, of course, it was a windy day in Oklahoma, and the deer just, man, they just did not move. And so we had to set out walking quite a bit, and I think we covered a little over 3 miles on private and leased ground. And, you know, that's hard on a little guy, and he was kind of worn out. We got to the evening hunt, and, he was about tuckered out, and I knew of a blind that we had. And a feeder, and it had already been hit really hard the past few days. And I was like, well, we'll just stop by and check, see what happens in the next, 20, 30 minutes. Mm-hmm. And man, luckily I got it set up, and I guess the buck had been kind of paralleling us in the thick brush, because I kid you not, it was a pretty quick hunt after we got in that blind set up.
Hmm. Yeah, you sent me the you actually were able to get video of it. So what was he shooting? What kind of rifle you have it set up?
I have a custom rifle. I've talked about it. You've seen it on, you know, Guns and Gear. It's a 6.5 Creedmoor. And I shot it suppressed, and you know, I had him before the season. I had him really try. I had him, hey, 5 minutes a day, go out and just dry fire, visualize, breathe. You know, where are you going to shoot the deer? You know, I really, really harped on him, and he did it. He didn't miss a day, and I typically was sitting right by him and talking him through it. A nice, good trigger press, and I think it all prepared him for shooting that. But I was also shooting, what I was really, really super impressed with was the HSM low recoil round in 6.5 Creedmoor. Wow, talk about an amazing round.
Well, and this is the little bit lower velocity, less recoil, just actually more comfortable to shoot. And of course, you would logically say, well, this is not going to hit as hard or drop a buck as quickly. That's not what happened at all.
It wasn't, you know, Jeff's reaction immediately was, I think you got him. And I was in my mind going, yeah, he's laying exactly where he stood, because we are first, you know, meat hunters. We love to eat the venison.
Right.
I couldn't use the offside shoulder. I couldn't use it. It was unusable after that round.
Wow.
Hit it. And I was kind of hoping, I was like, man, maybe I shouldn't tell him to hold just right behind the shoulder. I may need to tell him to back it up a little bit with those rounds.
Wow. And that's the reduced recoil round. And in the video, you can see the buck, when he presses the trigger, it goes down quite literally in his tracks.
It really did. And I think, you know, he had, actually, Jet was on our Guns and Gear segment shooting that round and showing the recoil reduction. And so he shot that round. But, you know, anytime you can set kids up for success, and that's one of the reasons why I was hunting it with it suppressed,
mm-hmm.
Which I think it should be lawful immediately for everyone, just for this reason, to get kids, you know, not shy of that sound. And man, when he pressed that trigger off, he wasn't worrying about his ears, and he wasn't, you know, kind of confused about, you know, what had happened. He was able to follow that shot all the way through.
That is really something. And then, of course, the suppressor, actually, it helps reduce recoil just a little bit. The whole thing makes it more comfortable.
Yeah.
So this was Jet's second deer?
Yeah, it was his second deer. I think it was probably, it might be bigger than last year's. And then, you know, he shot
nice
it. It was
buck.
A beautiful 8-point. It was a beautiful 8-point. I'd have been happy to shoot it, but he wouldn't let me have that shot. I was more than happy to give him the shot.
Now, did I see in there, is he shooting left-handed?
He is shooting left-handed. And what's funny is that last year he shot his buck right-handed.
Oh.
And we get in there shooting dry fire practice, and I go, he just wasn't sitting up on the gun right. And
mm-hmm.
And I noticed this really early on, and I said, buddy, I was like, I have a feeling you suffer from the same thing Tom does, the same thing Ryan does,
Ryan.
The same thing I do.
Left eye dominant.
Left eye dominant. And we tested it a couple times, and I go, here, try something for me. Get on the left side of this gun and press that trigger. And he got in, and he was like, oh, this is way better. He goes, I feel more comfortable. And that's how I'm going to start. He's going to start shooting left-hand, long guns left-handed.
Good.
Yeah, so there's just something early on that you have to catch to set him up for success.
That is terrific. All right, so using the HSM brand ammo, the low recoil ammo,
mm-hmm.
what, 140-grain bullet?
140-grain bullet. It's they kind of developed that their own kind of custom bullet with Sierra,
mm-hmm.
And it's 140 grains. But man, and I wouldn't, you know, the area that we hunt is very open ground, and I had already made up my mind that's not a round that you're going to reach out and, you know, shoot 400 or 300 yards.
No.
I mean, it's it's going to be something 200 yards or less. And I had already kind of made up my mind that, you know, I'm going to cap his shot at 150 yards. And luckily he gave us a shot within 70.
Ah, that's terrific. That is just, and you also had, I wanted to mention one other thing you had with you. I don't know if you used it, that three-legged tripod bog pod rifle.
Yeah, it was a bog death grip. And I've been using that. Ryan used it. Ryan and I both used that bipod or tripod on the antelope hunt.
Mm-hmm.
So I had some familiarity with it, but man, it is rock solid. You can lock that thing in, you can rotate it, you can tilt that the head on it, but it just, it gives a little bit more stability to the young shooter, or even a guy like me, where I need all the help I can get. And you know, we were walking in the field putting a stalk on a deer, and we had a little buck. It was like a little spike buck, and you know, Jet was going to have to shoot him using the limb of a tree, and he kind of called himself off. He said, "Dad, I just don't really feel comfortable with that shot."
Huh.
And I said, I respected it. I respected that. And I said, okay, buddy, we'll get that next time. I won't be as lazy, and I'll bring the bog with me.
All right. So you got Jed in the car with you?
He's in here. He's sitting right back there, and he's well, just listening along.
Give him a big old high five for us and a gun talk attaboy. We appreciate what you guys are doing.
I will. I sure do appreciate you guys. And, you know, just, man. Get those kids out there. It's a lot of it's more fun when you take them and get them on something.
It really is. KJ, thank you so much. We appreciate it. I know you're going to be talking about this on Gun Talk Hunt.
Oh, yeah. I guarantee it.
All right. Take care. Have a safe drive back.
Thank you, sir.
All righty. 866-TALK-GUN. You know what the best part of that? 12-year-old Jet gets on a deer. He can't get the crosshairs to stop moving. He's got a wobbly limb. He says, I don't feel comfortable. I'm not going to take the shot. That's a testament to him and to the training he got from his dad. 866-TALK-GUN.
Have you just purchased your first firearm? Millions of Americans have made personal protection a priority, and Smith & Wesson has created a resource to welcome first-time gun owners into the firearms community. It's called Smith & Wesson Gun Smarts. Hosted on Smith & Wesson's YouTube channel, the Gun Smarts video series covers a variety of training topics. Become a confident, responsible gun owner. Visit Smith & Wesson on YouTube and see what Gun Smarts has for you.
Today, America is in crisis. We're called to protect our families and communities. But anti-gun politicians are working to strip those protections from us. They're shutting down our right to self-defense, violating our rights. At the same time, they're releasing prisoners onto our streets, leaving us defenseless. We are America, and we won't let them use this crisis to strip away our rights. Register to vote at www.gunvote.org.
The new Mark 262 Mod 1C features the exact construction and capability of the U.S. military round. It's available in military ammo cans containing 460 rounds, packaged in 20-round cartons. Each lot is tested at 300 yards. The ammunition must produce groups of 2 inches or less with 10-shot groups. That works out to 0.64 minute of angle. This documentation is provided within each can. Black Hills Ammunition, the power of performance.
It's funny, during the commercial break, I'm listening to commercials and hear Jeff Hoffman over at Black Hills Ammunition. God, what a great company. Wonderful people over there. Just love the family-oriented nature of it. And it reminded me, as I was listening to Jeff talk, he's kind of my go-to guru when it comes to ballistics and things. And combining that with the last guest we had, with KJ talking about Jet shooting his deer, if you're in an area, and most states now you can hunt deer with a 5.56, 223 if you prefer. Black Hills has a really good load for that. They have a 62 grain, this is in a 5.56, 62 grain Barnes TSX bullet going 3,000 feet per second. You're talking about something that doesn't have a whole lot of recoil, but with that bullet, you're going to get good expansion and good penetration. And for me personally, I would not have a problem shooting out to about 300 yards with that rig on deer. I wouldn't use it on elk, probably. I mean, in a pinch you could. But it, as a deer cartridge, man, that would really be something. And there are actually a lot of good loads now in 5.56 or 2.23 for hunting. As the regulations have changed, you know, back only 20, 30 years ago, most states did not allow you to hunt deer with a 22 centerfire cartridge. Texas may be one of the first that I can remember. Because I remember guys hunting deer with 22 250. And it's like, you know, hit by a lightning bolt when you get one. So just kind of a thought for you. But having good bullets is the key, especially when you're going that fast. You want a tougher bullet. And I like that Barnes TSX bullet as well. Let's see. Oh, by the way, if you'd like to join us, 866-TALK-GUN is the number. Jim just called in out of Elwood, Nebraska. Hey, Jim, what's on your mind?
Yes. For the last few months, you've been telling us how important our vote was. And here today, you said you sent in your vote. You voted by mail. Mm-hmm. And then you said you didn't even know where it was going to end up.
Well, it was a joke. You know it was a joke, right?
No, I didn't.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah. With all the talk about mail-in ballots and all the rest of it and all the stuff. Clearly it's got to go in. I am voting absentee because I'm out of the state. I will be out of the state on election day. So, you know, that's what I did. So I just, you know, filled it all in, dropped it in the mailbox by the post office, and it will get there. I'm not worried about that, honestly. Yes.
With all you hear about ballots ending up in the dumpster and ballots being burned, and I would be concerned.
I understand what you're saying, and I know that it happens. In the greater scheme of things, it's just not one of the things I'm going to spend a lot of time worrying about, especially since there's nothing I can do about it. I am not going to be in my home state on election day. So my only choice is to vote absentee.
Yeah, well, you requested a ballot. That isn't like you were part of the ballots that were just thrown out there for anybody to pick up and to vote.
Oh, no. I went online. I printed out 100 ballots of my own.
Well, that's all right.
I like the way you think there, Jim. I feel this thing. I must have requested that thing 6-8 weeks ago, and then finally came in and filled it out and had to have it witnessed, you know, and then send it in. I'm trying to remember, that may be the first time I voted absentee. I've done early voting, but that was, you know, voting in person. But this may be the first time I've done absentee. And why am I not going to be there? Well, it's hunting season. And thank you, Jim. Appreciate the call. It's hunting season. I'm going to be hunting, and then I'm going to be helping some buddies out when they're doing a late hunt. And so I'll actually be beyond when my deer tag has expired. But then I'll be working like as camp cook and spotter and gopher and, you know, whatever else needs to be done. Why would you do that? Well, because it's fun to be out there with your buddies hunting, doing stuff. Maybe taking some kids out, or we have some plans along those lines. What are you hunting? And what will you be hunting this season? 866-TALK-GUN. Also, are you voting early? Are you voting absentee? Are you voting at all? I want to know. All right, back with you, 866-TALK-GUN. Let's go talk with Robin. She's in Denver, Colorado. Hey, Robin, welcome to Gun Talk.
Hey, I I have three handguns. I have a 38, a 380, and a 9mm.
Nice.
And I'm wanting to move into, although I can't find ammo for the 38, but anyway, I'm trying to move into maybe a long gun, and I'm not sure if my next step should be a shotgun or a rifle. And I would, eventually I might be interested in hunting, but I'm just trying to be a smart purchaser.
Okay. Right now, I guess, what is your interest? Do you just like shooting at this point?
Yeah, well, I got the handguns originally for, I wanted to exercise my Second Amendment right. Then I started to enjoy it. Now I conceal carry. So it would either be for home defense, or I would like to, be smart and buy something I could use later, either for maybe bird or, hunting animal game.
All right. Well, you really are at a fork in the road, and if you want to hunt birds, then you're going to get a shotgun. It's as simple as that.
Okay.
And a shotgun could work for home defense, but a wing shooting shotgun is different in configuration from a home defense shotgun. The difference may be nothing more than the length of the barrel. And you're going a shorter barrel for home defense, a little bit longer barrel. But I'm going to throw something else at you. Are you shooting mostly at indoor ranges or outdoor?
Yes, sir. Well, I'm mostly indoor, but I do have access to outdoor ranges as well.
Would you consider an AR-15 rifle?
Absolutely.
Okay, that's going to be my recommendation. I'm going to tell you why. It is the most versatile platform you can get. It is. How tall are you?
5'3".
Perfect. They have collapsible, adjustable stocks. You can adjust the stock so it will fit you. The recoil is very low. Finding ammo for them is like finding ammo for anything else right now, but that's a temporary situation.
Yeah.
You can actually, when you get into it, you'll be able to change the upper, and that's a matter of pushing out two pins, pulling the top off, put a different one on. You can change change calibers. So it becomes very interesting and multifunctional and all of that. And in a pinch, you could use it for hunting. If you decide to try that, you can go again with different calibers if you want to. But I think as an intro into the world of long guns, there's really nothing more versatile than an AR-15. And they are still available out there. You can go, it's okay to tell me, what shooting ranges do you go to there?
There's a couple, Centennial Gun Club and Douglas County, ECF Guns.
And I've been to Centennial. It's a terrific shooting range there, a great gun club.
It is beautiful,
Just go ask the guys at Centennial, hey, do you have an AR? Can you get me an AR? And when you get it, here's the other part. They have instructors. It's a little bit involved, the buttonology, as we call it, the safety and the mag release and all that. If you would spend an hour or two with an instructor to get up to speed, it would really be well worthwhile. I think you're going to be really happy. And here's the other thing. Despite what everybody else is going to tell you, because they're going to be wrong, an AR-15 actually is a pretty good home defense tool. And the bullets do not go through all the buildings. And actually, your 9.38 and 380 will go through more walls than an AR-15 bullet, believe it or not. And I've tested this. I've shot through a lot of walls. So go talk to the guys over at Centennial Gun Club or whatever store you can find and say, look, can you find me an AR? Do you have anything there? I think that's a good next step for you. And Robin, I apologize, but I flat run out of time. It's a pleasure having you here, and I'm so glad that you're shooting. And tell the guys over at Centennial Gun Club hello for me, if you would, please. Appreciate that. All righty. 866-TALK-GUN will get you in here. What's going on in the gun industry? What does it look like for Joe Biden? He declared the gun makers the enemy, right? And SHOT Show, is that coming right up? We'll talk about that when we come back. 866-TALK-GUN.